Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
On today's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, we have the man, the myth, the legend, USA Football's own Aaron Ingram, the team manager of our national teams. In other words, the head coach of all the coaches. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Keith. Thanks for having me.
It's good to finally get you here. We've been talking about doing this for a while, I think since I started at USA Football, so I know you've been busy. But tell us a little bit first of about your pathway to USA Football. You were at the college level coaching at Nevada, and now you're working for USA Football. So what's the pathway to USA Football?
The pathway is kind of a unique one. You know, I think everybody has their own kind of path on how they come across us and find out about USA Football. I was lucky enough to, when I was coaching at Sacramento State, our managing director, Garrett Shea, who's an old friend, reach out to me and ask if I would want to come and coach quarterbacks or receivers one day for a weekend, and kind of sucked me in 3.5-4 years ago now. And I did a lot of camps, you know what I mean, and saw a lot of players, started to really say, well, what is USA Football? What is their mission? What are they doing? And just fell in love with the instruction and the structure that they had going on. And then he cornered me one summer after working a camp real late at night in a dorm room and asked if I'd want to come on and oversee the program. I packed up the car from Nevada right before training camp in August and drove on out to Indianapolis. And kind of the rest is almost a mythical legend, I guess, now, right?
Because certainly the path to USA Football is like you described. They have a lot of friends in college football and high school football who talk about their experiences and become a part of USA Football. And I think, you know, to a man, they've had a very positive experience. Talk to us from a coach's perspective, you know, coach working the camps. What's the benefit for them of getting involved in this?
Oh, the best thing, you know, I hear so many things, but so many guys keep reaching out and telling me it's the best thing that they've had to hire young coaches to help them go and network to get new jobs. Because all of a sudden you're there and we're not on the field for 3-4 hours and gone. You know, you're there for 2 days, you know, 8 hours of instruction each day and into it. It's not just, we're not doing obstacle courses and circus drills. It's grassroots fundamental football that builds up from individual to group work to competition to 11-on-11. And, you know, we get after it. And some guys really like that part of the fact that we are true football. And that's what kind of brings us all together in this brotherhood, you know?
And that is something different. You point out a little bit, kind of gave us an overview of what a camp looks like. It's not typically what you see offered by the college levels today. The college level programs have different objectives, and when they're putting on a camp, talk to us a little bit about the difference between what a player is going to experience at a USA Football camp versus what they might experience at a one day for a college.
Yeah, you know, the college one days, after being a part of those and seeing that, that's what kind of helped me to kind of define and design a curriculum a little bit with it, because those are so fast turn and burn, and those are for kids to get seen by that one school or those schools that are there. They want to eyeball you, you know, because, you know, watching a huddle film or a highlight, it says you're 6'2", but, you know, when I stand next to a guy, I'm a solid 5'9 in shoes. You know, I want to know how tall you are, right? When I'm a college guy, you know that, Keith, too. You're right. The same way. But then, you know, what we're doing is we want to get you better, you know. Just like anything, if I was going to be a painter and I paint houses for a living, the more I paint, the better I'm going to be. So we're going to go and do a lot more football that can basically transfer over to who they are and back to their original programs in high school. We want them better leaving us than when they got there.
I think that's key what you say there, that it transfers to their high school. You can run across a lot of people today who are putting on private camps. And really, from them, they're pushing their own agendas, whether it's, you know, to get a kid in for more training or to show how much they know. What is a kid going to take away from a USA Football camp and be able to apply at his own school?
You know, whether if it's positional specific training, you know what I mean? If he's a quarterback, he might get to see a lot of things. It's funny. we've had quarterbacks, and I've every weekend I'm somewhere, and I always ask, have you ever taken a snap under center? You know, just the simplest task like that. You know, last week we had, you know, Terry Shea, I know who you're going to get a chance to talk to soon too, teaching quarterbacks how to take a snap under center and talk about cadence. Just very basic fundamentals that are probably overlooked and undercoached in nowadays football. You know, heck, Deshaun Watson and those guys, some of those colleges don't even use a cadence, right? Well, high school football still does. So we have to help develop those guys so they can go back to being better when they get back to their head coach.
Coach, I know you have the opportunity to coach the coaches as well. As you're going through a camp and you're looking at, you know, what can I do to help this guy? What are some of the common things you see that you're able to instruct coaches on that they can take away, obviously, and use in their own experiences?
Oh, great one. I love that question. You know, a lot of guys, it's great. You see, and I don't know when I became old in this world, but all of a sudden I became old. I'm the old guy now, which is a riot. And so guys call and they'll ask for advice or something. Then when they come and work, you kind of get a chance to see them and critique them. And I wish, you know, I know we all had a mentor growing up or a few. I wish I had somebody more hands-on, as much as I can go and help some of these young guys go and get some GA jobs from high school or kind of bounce around the country with some smaller colleges or to some D1 stuff. But you look at them and you always help them, like, hey, be energetic. Be specific in your teaching, right? Don't use Nick. Just call them by their first name. Develop a rapport with kids on a personal basis, because this whole game's a relationship game. You know, especially when you're in a camp setting like we are, and you're kind of looking at a guy and saying, hey, you know, hey, number 785, come here. It's a lot different instead of me saying, hey, Mark, come here. Mark, let's talk about how we could fix this. You know, it's a lot different, and it comes across a lot different when you use first names and build a relationship.
Coach, one of the other things you get involved with is our Master Trainer program. Just so our listeners can understand it, give us an overview of the Master Trainer program.
Master Trainer program is something that USA Football, it's kind of their flagship program in a lot of ways, where we have just a hair over 100, about 108 nationwide top high school and college coaches that will go and teach and clinic the fundamentals of a better, safer game, from heat exhaustion, cardiac arrest, practice smart with our practice, as well as same thing with tackling and blocking, with some of the new stuff we've done with the Seattle Seahawks and our shoulder tackling system. So that's kind of our flagship program.
Now, if a coach wants to become a part of that, what's the process for?
Master Trainers, we have an application that we use online. A lot of those within that, we use them by geographic need, which meaning if in California we have a lot of clinics, we'll start to recruit and search out and vet coaches that are, you know, that would be good about representing the brand. Just like if you hire anybody for a high school or a job, once we put the logo on their chest, you know, we're protective of it, very much so. So that's real big, but it's based on geographic need.
And I've heard you talk about getting the guys up on the board and making them present. What do you do in that part of the process?
That's great. You know, that's one of the – it's almost a sidebar. It's one of the best things I think we do, because when, you know, you put a bunch of coaches in a room, what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk football, you know, and they all want to learn from each other. You know, this year in New York and in Philly, when we were out there doing some trainings, all of a sudden we kind of – started having a mock clinic, kind of put guys on the board and everybody gets a topic and you email it out early and let guys sign up. And, you know, I got to learn a couple things, which was great. I kind of started looking at a couple different things that changed my philosophy on some things too. I thought it was great.
Obviously, this game is about networking, and at USA Football, we've developed our national conference. And, you know, like me, you're very familiar with the AFCA convention that we have every year, but I think that really has become, and you'll see high school coaches there. There's programming for high school coaches, but by and large, it really is a college football networking event. What is the difference between that and the national conference and what we're developing at USA Football?
I think the difference, I think you nailed it right there, is that the AFCA has become the college kind of version of it, really, where if you want to coach in college or go hear some of the college guys, that's where you should go, you know. And then, but if you're a high school coach trying to get to talk to some people that probably have the same problems that you have, you know what I mean? If you go to the AFC and you want to hear Bob Stoops and talk about his problems, he doesn't have the same problems as Zionsville High School in Indiana, you know, where at least at our national conference, it's a high school based, and youth-based football presentations and talk. You know, you're going to learn a lot and see a lot of great high school coaches at ours. I can tell you that.
Coach, let's shift gears and talk about the national teams. The national teams are a great opportunity, obviously, for the kids who are involved. You get the opportunity to wear the stars and stripes to represent our country. Talk to us a little bit about the process for those individuals becoming a part of the national teams.
Oh, my favorite topic is when we get to talk about the national teams. You know, the pathway starts in the spring, you know, when the season's over for a lot of high schools. And it's a two-day t-shirt and shorts, non-contact, non-padded, regional in a sense. This year we've had 30 regionals. We're just in the tail end of our regionals where guys will get involved in some individual, some group and semi-group, and then some 11-on-11 work. From there, they'll be evaluated and selected to attend one of our national development games. This year we're going to be at four different locations across the country. We'll be at UC Davis, UC Texas Arlington, Walsh University right there near the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And then this year's a new one for us. I'm excited about going down to Georgia and being at the University of West Georgia. That's a four-day padded camp where we'll physically play a game. It's a modified game at the end of the week and evaluate players. And then from there, we'll build them for international play for the International Bowl that's in January with Cowboy Stadium. We're excited about that this year.
I know the opportunity is also great for the coaches who are able to be selected and get involved as well, and that you've made some great friendships from the national teams. Talk to us a little bit about the experience for the coach.
You know, the experience for the coach is great. You know, there's some coaches that are nationally known and have had these huge winning records, and you get to see them become a kid again in a lot of ways. It's funny. Gabe Infante, St. Joe's Prep, state champ this year, master trainer. I think he finished in the top 10 nationally, I'm imagining. So the team was loaded. They were fun to watch this year. You know, got to coach in AT&T Stadium for the first time. And you would think a guy from Philly's not a Cowboys fan, but he is. And jogged out onto the turf for the first time and just teared up. And I caught him at a weak moment, I guess. And I asked him what's wrong. And he says, I've never had such a better time in my life in a warm-up. And so it's neat. It's experiences like that that we can help build them for. You know, it's some of the friendships are outstanding. You know, that's being connected and connect some of these coaches nationwide from California all the way to Boston and New York has been great. So I've created some friendships that I'll keep for lifelong.
Coach, obviously your main responsibility is to make sure all these teams and the experiences are great ones. And that really starts with building a culture, and you don't have a lot of time to do that. We talk about it all the time in our football programs and how it's a process. You have a very short time period. You have a very short process to do that. So what's the key to developing that culture and bringing guys together in a very dynamic game like football so that they can go out and have success on the field, you know, versus either other national teams or versus international teams?
You know, we talk about that, as you know, Keith, here in the office all the time too, about creating culture, changing culture, you know, making football a football culture. And in such a short period of time, the best thing that I've found, and I talk to coaches about this when we hire them for these, is that the fastest way to build the culture here is to rally around your country in a sense that, you know, you're playing for your country. There's a lot of people that don't ever get this opportunity, not just in football, but in all phases of athletics, you know, and this is the closest thing that we have right now to the Olympics in football. Yeah, that's a unique thing. You know, the faster you can do it, the better, of course. And we don't have the time that a lot of normal coaches have. You know, we got 5 to 6 days, and then we got to play. And one of the bigger games probably for a lot of these guys' careers, and it's against another country that all they dream about is showing up and whipping us around. So the faster you can create it, you know, I talked to Kenny Sanchez this year about it when he was our U19 coach, and he's like, you know, the best thing to do, I think, is to rally around our country. I said, I agree 110%. You know, rally around the stars and stripes and the red, white, and blue. And you see how fast you have guys rally together to get on the same page, to do things the right way, to practice fast, to be on time. All the things that create a football culture and that's great all of a sudden start clicking really, really fast when they understand the mission and the magnitude of what they're doing.
The other thing that gets amplified is the ability to teach. You have to install your systems and get good at them very quickly. So what's the key, and what can coaches learn really from a situation like this that obviously can apply to, you know, installing your systems in a high school program?
Big time. Is it, you know, just like a lot of young coaches, they always want to show you how much they know, you know, and how much how fat their playbook is, or how much they can, you know, draw forever. It's not what we know. It's really not, you know, and that takes time to learn. Unfortunately, it's what you can have your players apply to your players, and anything within these type of settings, it's got to happen very simple, very quick. You know, don't try to install too much. Be very good. You got to be known for something. You got to hang your hat on something. And that's what I tell a lot of our coaches. You know, I give them kind of parameters on the style that we would like to play, basically on how I've built a roster, on way the style with it, you know, within the roster composition. And we got to hang our hat on something a lot of times. I want them to look at the USA football and say, okay, we have to stop this. When another country goes to watch our film or tries to scout a little bit or get some background on us, they will have to stop the speed of the game for us, or they have to stop our power running game or something. So make it simple, make it easy to understand, and be very clear. Don't create words. You know, if you want them to backstep, call it a backstep. Don't call it a cowboy step or a Johnny step, or, you know, be very clear. Describe what you want it to be and do it.
Coach, you mentioned, you know, looking at the other teams that you play. What's the process, or what kind of time do you guys have to game plan when you're playing in international competition?
Game planning, that's the unique one. A couple years ago, when I was coaching our U18 team, I had no idea. Zero. I was going into it completely blind. And that is something very difficult for today's coach. When all of a sudden you don't get film, you don't get anything, and you just kind of get a style that they're known for playing. You know, Canada is going to line up and pound you and huge up front, a bunch of road graders that want to pound the ball and run power running game and counter and a little bit of inside zone at you. Japan's very fast. Up tempo is going to throw the ball all over the park. Mexico this year is being added to the docket and coming to play with a couple teams at the International Bowl, and they're outstanding. Saw some of them in China last year at the World Championships. And it's going to be a great addition there. That's an outstanding country in football right now. They make me nervous.
Coach, when you look at some of the things that are really becoming popular or trending in offensive football today, obviously RPO comes up, and a lot of teams are running that off of zone schemes. And we think of, okay, I might not know where they're going to line up all the time, that maybe zone schemes help. Do you feel that the RPO is a big help to your teams offensively?
Huge. Huge. I think it's kind of been our equalizer, to tell you the truth, the last 2 years. Sitting in on some of the meetings during, you know, the International Bowl week and getting ready to prep for Canada or Japan or providential teams like Saskatchewan or British Columbia, and that's something that it's an equalizer for us, where we do have the pen last, you know, in a lot of ways, and it's really given our young guys answers.
What's been your favorite RPO that you've seen?
Oh, you know, I'm a different RPO guy. I like pushing it down the field. I'm not a stick draw guy. You know, if I say, if you're going to go RPO, I want to push it down the field, make sure we're getting it to the third level. Wow, that's a great question, Keith. Oh, I'm probably more of a pop pass seam, you know, inside zone seam, attack that second level outside backer, try to pop it right in front of that safety. Old Colts Peyton Manning play.
Now, in looking at that, you mentioned personnel, that you guys, and you and I have talked about this, you got to study film of the guys that you're putting together as a team and see how those guys fit. How much of that really goes into the planning of the playbook with your coaching staffs?
That's big. You know, that's kind of like, that's the part that's more of the art than the science in a lot of ways. You know, it's like, if you can build the perfect team, how are you going to do it? You know, in a lot of ways. And so we always have to look at some of the alumni that's done a great job in moving up, as well as some of the new talent that's kind of come through and how they mesh. You know, when we go and put these things together, it's literally a 2 to 3 week process for team selection. You know, we shut the doors. I put about a case of Red Bull on ice and grab a bag of Sour Patch Kids, and here we go. And I feel for guys who have to sit there and deal with me when we do it, because it's, It's a lot of whiteboards. It's a lot of film, and it's a lot of questions. You know, we want to find out if they're going to mesh. Sometimes we get them on the phone. You know, I wait till nighttime and talk to some of these kids. Hey, would you be willing to do this, or how comfortable do you feel if you're a quarterback in an RPO system? I see you're a wing T guy and a little bit of a spread guy, but I'm not seeing any RPO on film. You know, have you ever done that? You know, that's stuff like that that meshes. You know, you have to find out, because all of a sudden, if I take a guy who's not used to it and then try to throw him into it in a short window, he's not going to be successful. And, you know, then another country is going to walk home with the belt.
Coach, you mentioned the alumni of these games. Obviously, we saw on draft day that there were some players who have played in these on the national teams and made it to the highest level. But I also have noticed recently coaches climbing the ladder as well. Talk to us about both sides of that, the player and the coach, alumni, and what they're able to go on and do from, you know, their experiences.
You know, it's funny. They don't realize what they've done until it's over. So many of them now, player-wise, have reached out after now even becoming drafted or playing in the world championships or whatever, saying, I wish I could go back. I wish this. I wish this. It was the best time of my life. I don't know if I'll never get the chance ever again to hear the national anthem while representing my country. So it's a pretty neat thing to come back and hear that or get those messages and those phone calls or those parents who say this is still the best thing they've ever had. And then some of the coaches, that's what some of the – that's kind of newer because of being such a new program in a sense. You know, we're only 7 years old. But having some of the coaches have great success now and move up the chain. You know, Ephraim Banda, DB's coach at University of Miami, is one of our guys who's kind of come up through the pike. Jamila Dye, DB's coach at University of Arizona, who's kind of come up through the chain and done some great things. And we're really excited about our alumni coaches. And then they realize, too, what they've done and done with us now. So it's been great.
Coach, we're going to tie things up here. I'm going to do what I do with all of our coaches, put you through the two-minute drill and see some of the things you like here. So let's start with this schematically. What's the toughest defense to face?
3-5-3.
Why is that, Coach?
There's guys coming from all angles, and I think a lot of times nowadays in zone systems, some of these guys aren't used to blocking guys at depth level when they're fitting it different, you know. And sometimes those guys are coming from every damn angle in the country. You know, every time somebody's a 3-5-3 guy, I want to sit them down and arm wrestle them and beat them up a little bit or something, try to convince them to get out of it.
What's your favorite goal line play?
Power. 100% power. I'm never going to waver from it. It's power. We took a poll a couple years ago when I was at Sacramento State. We had 28 goal line plays, 27 of them were power, all ran to the right. We're just going to line it. You just got to stop it. You know, I think it's still probably the best play in football.
Day game or night game?
Night game.
Turf or grass?
Love it. Always turf. I love the smell of grass, but I love the speed of the turf.
If there was one football coach from the past you could learn from, who would that be?
Oh, wow. Woody Hayes.
How about one from the present?
Nick Saban. I love how he defines culture. And you continue to see players that are going there, and they're not caught up in the, I need to play right now today. I want to go and I want to learn, and I'm going to wait my turn, and I'm going to get developed, and just an outstanding culture.
Should the kickoff be eliminated?
Oh, I don't know if it should be eliminated. I think it should be modified.
What's your favorite quote?
Win today.
What's a book you'd recommend to our listeners?
Oh, anything that Bill Walsh has written. Some of those have become Bibles for coaches and, you know, parents and everybody. All his stuff is absolutely amazing.
Coach, good job on the two-minute drill. And here's the final question that I give each guest. Going to give it to you as well. What's the one thing you would point to as giving the U.S. national teams the winning edge?
I think our people. Just like anything else, you can always have the greatest product in the world, but if you don't have the people behind it, developing it, and kind of cultivating that culture and growing the culture, you got nothing. You know, the people at Apple Computer, the people at Google, they got great product. They really do. Probably best in the world. But it's the people that drive and are the engine to make that thing go. USA Football and the U.S. national team, that's the best thing we do. It better than anybody else, and I'll firmly believe that.
Coach, I know you're really active on Twitter. How can our listeners connect with you?
Best way to follow me on Twitter is at Coach AI. I try to be a little comical at times. I try to have some fun with it. I think social media is a great medium and platform to peek into somebody's life and not be their whole life. But it's a great way to kind of follow the ins and outs and the travel of what's going on in the U.S. national team.
Coach, really appreciate you taking the time to be here and share all the things that we're doing at USA Football. And best of luck to you and the national teams as you guys go into a new round of competition.
Thanks so much, Keith. It's been great. I always have a fun time when we can talk.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.